The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Steven Gerrard says he's ready to fall out with people to make sure Alfredo Morelos stays at Rangers. Lee Griffiths admits he's been through hard times on his way back to the Celtic team. And St Mirren and Motherwell were the big winners this weekend, with Hearts and Aberdeen the big losers. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Craig Beattie and Alex Ray.
Yeah, super subs Morelos and Griffiths score to secure the points for Rangers and Celtic to extend the league. Gordon at the top of the league. Has a fizzle gone out in Hibs and Hearts as the poor run continues? Motherwell, your lot, Gordon, humble the Dons. And has the big one of Faroran Keary, really the big one that they needed, Gordon, and potentially goal of the season in Adam Hamill.
Craig Beattie, I say this to everyone when they stand over there on a Monday or a Friday, you are Hugh Evans tonight. I'm sorry to do that to you. It's like tonight, Matthew, I am.
Don't be sorry, be me. Be sorry to the listeners.
He's in Brighton and you are here. It was quite a... an exciting, dramatic weekend of Scottish football. Lots to get through tonight.
Yeah, great to get the international break out the way. Look forward to domestic stuff. You know, there's cup action as well as domestic. And you know, there's plenty of goals and plenty of talking points for us.
Look at that, he's got it in there. It's 4 minutes past and he wants us to talk about Elgin's big win, getting through to face Hibs in the next round of the Scottish Cup. Good stuff. Stirling Uni, it was a comfortable victory.
And
now to Easter Road in the next round.
Not such a comfortable draw in the next round.
Interesting. Right, your weekend review has started and it's on till 8 o'clock. So give us a call. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. And on Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. We could start various places. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. He says Livingston employed tactics to spoil the game on Saturday in the 3-0 win at Ibrox. The Gers boss admitted his side weren't at their best, but did get the rewards in the end for working hard.
I'm very pleased with the players. I think it's a very important win for us. At times it didn't look great on the eye, I understand that, you know. The fans come here and expect us to play with, you know, style and rhythm and great attacking football, I understand that. But at times teams are not going to let us do that. Teams are going to come here to try and spoil. They're going to try and make the game physical. They're going to go man for man in midfield. They're going to throw themselves over to try and get fouls and set pieces, and they're going to try and spoil the game. And I think at times today Livingston succeeded in spoiling the game. But what we did is we stood strong, we were brave. We stood up for them, and eventually we get our rewards towards the end of the game because we've got a top centre forward who come on and provided that spark that was needed. I don't worry about Hearts' results or anyone else's results right now. Today was about us getting three important points, what I mentioned yesterday. We go to Hearts next week. It'll be a very difficult game. Tynecastle will be bouncing. It's very close to the pitch. I know they've been beat today, so I'm sure they're going to want to bounce back against Rangers. There's no better team to bounce back against. But today is all about enjoying today. Big 3 points for us. Celtic asked us a question today and we've won and answered it.
If you've got any thoughts on that game and how it sets Rangers up for Villarreal, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. On one hand there, Steven Gerrard saying Alex, you know, he's not bothered about the Hearts result and whatever else, but then he does acknowledge Celtic's result at the end. So that is the reality of what happened at the weekend. It was a weekend where Celtic and Rangers were the big winners in that section of the league, because Hearts dropped points, Aberdeen dropped points, Hibs dropped points, Kilmarnock dropped points. So it's the only way to look at it.
Yeah, it was a perfect weekend for the Old Firm, Gordon. And when you look at it, it looks as if they may well kick on. They've got a game in hand on the rest as well. But going back to Steven Gerrard's performance at the weekend, he was right in what he said. Having seen the highlights, seen the extended highlights as well, that the performance wasn't great. You're up against a team that I think they're the second best
yeah,
defensive record. So you knew it was always going to be difficult. So to come away with a 3-0, get the points, and then rest your striker as well. You give Morelos an hour on the bench. He comes on, changes the game effectively because of the quality. He spoke about that. He's instrumental to everything that Rangers are doing at the moment. And I think it's important to recognise as well what you said there about Celtic, because they did put the pressure on. Celtic did what they said. It was a canter at Hamilton. Rangers have to respond. I quite like the idea that they have to put pressure on each other and it's tit for tat, because it asked questions of the players, and I think that's what Steven Gerrard was saying. They responded and they come through it in the end. Okay,
Alex says Alfredo Morelos is instrumental to Rangers. So let's hear your take on it. How important is he becoming for Rangers? How important is it that they hang on to him? Because Steven Gerrard says he'll fall out with people at the club to make sure he keeps Alfredo Morelos. The striker, as Alex says, came off the bench to score one and set up one on Saturday. And Gerrard says he didn't start because he needs to manage the Colombians' workload.
The decision is we have 4 games in 11 days and now we have 3 and 6. The form he's in, at times I'm going to have to try and offload him and help him because he can't play in every single game. Lafferty was superb in training all week. Looked like he was ready and chomping at the bit for a start. Gave him that option, thought he worked tirelessly for us, ran the Livingston defenders into the ground, and then obviously Alfredo comes on and get all the credit, but Laf done his bit in the first hour as well. So I have to manage the squad and the team as best I can to make sure that we're fit and healthy, certainly when the big games come around, and they're about to come around. No, there's no targets from me. I just want him to score as many as he can. I'm not sure whether he has any targets. You'll have to ask him. But there's no doubt about it, he's going to shatter what he got last season and in previous seasons, because we're creating chances. He's in a great place. He's happy. He's enjoying his work. I'm told by other people who've been around a long time, it's the happiest he's looked. What I will say is I'll fight tooth and nail to keep him here for as long as possible. I'll fall out with people to keep him here. That's how much I like him and love him and respect him. But I also understand every player has his price. But from day one, I've told you, I love him, and that hasn't changed. It's grown, it's getting more. So I want to keep him here as long as possible because he makes my job a lot easier.
Rangers fans, you've heard Steven Gerrard. He loves Alfredo Morelos. He will fall out with people to keep him at the club. How important is he to what Rangers are doing at the moment? 0141 951 1025. Do you love him? Is that too strong a word for you?
Listen, the one thing about Morelos, it's interesting because if he'd have said to me last year when they were getting offered reported 7-8 million pounds, had I seen bitten the hand off him. The progress in that boy in a year has been absolutely remarkable. His all round game's improved, his work rate's improved, he looks fitter, he looks sharper. He's still got that temperament that you look at and you go, oh, he can kick off at any moment. I quite like that in a younger player as well. I think as you get older, you start developing as a player, you start getting more mature, and you don't have to react to a lot of things, Gordon. And he's actually improved in that in some elements over the course of the season. When I've seen him walk away for things, he's sometimes getting embroiled. But I like the fact that Steven Gerrard's just saying to the board, we cannot sell this guy. He is a star turn, and if you want to make inroads on Celtic's dominance, you must keep players of that calibre.
Yeah, he's a top player. You've got to keep hold of him. He's scoring all the goals, and he's been absolutely superb. And you know where Morelos is fortunate is he's got a manager who was a bit feisty in his career himself. He wasn't shy in putting it about, he wasn't shy in getting involved. And you know, he's got somebody there who will understand some of his mindset and be able to manage him accordingly. And as Alex said, as he gets older, as he gets more experienced, then, you know, Steven Gerrard will help him greatly.
I mean, Alex, we had a lot of calls, didn't we, on Saturday's open line, because Morelos did pick up that booking for dissent, which means he misses the Dundee game. But many of the Rangers fans who tweeted in were sort of saying, well, sort of, you know, what was it tactical? Because it's actually a good thing that he misses the Dundee game.
Yeah, listen, it's a very interesting point, Gordon, because people, I heard some of the guys on the show on Saturday say this as well. I can talk for experience when it comes to being volatile, being disciplined, not the best, and it cost me. Once I got on top of it, and this got, I was 29 at the time, so if he's going to take my example, then he's got a long way to wait. But from getting on top of this, you can then kick on and become a far better player. You can control your emotions and still have that aggression. So, but, you know, I don't quite subscribe to it. If he loses it, he'll be a lesser player. If he can get on top of this earlier than I did, then he can go, the sky's the limit for the boy.
Scott Brown's another good example of that. You know, we played against Scott for a number of years when he was younger, and, you know, he's running about telling senior professionals he's going to break their legs, etc. He was a maniac, Scott Brown. And just the same example, as he gets older, he's matured a lot better, and you know, he's now the one that's pulling people out of these situations, and you know, he certainly learned his lesson. But you know, just looking at his, Morelos has picked that yellow card up on 86 minutes, so and it's for dissent as well, which is you know, he's maybe done it to miss that Dundee game.
Someone said today that I haven't checked it. It was 11 bookings and 2 reds. Obviously, one got rescinded, but
11 bookings and 2 reds.
So it'll be 6 in the league. That's when you trigger the suspension.
Yeah, I was just trying to highlight that the actual number, Gordon, in terms of, so what, 4 months into the season.
Yeah. Gavin is a Rangers fan in Drumchapel. What's on your mind tonight, Gavin?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Basically, it was just about the point where Gerrard stated that they've basically followed the people in order to keep Morelos at the club. Just like I say, your points about it being, to my point of view, you're almost wanting your strike. Obviously, your strikers, you'd be wanting them not to have as good as a season, because the second day, they always get a call from down south. And it just gets, it's the same happened with Jelovic as well, when was it Everton that went for Jelovic, and just at the same time, you're almost not wanting your players to perform to the top level, purely due to the fact that you know they're going to be gone the next season.
I guess that's the life of a club in a certain place in the food chain as it stands, Alex. Gavin Senior, you want them to play well, but not too well, so that they don't get taken away.
Well, I think Jelovic, at that period, I think he left in the January, if my memory serves me right. I think the writing was on the wall. I think a lot of the other players left in that summer. So I think it was different circumstances. Morelos has just signed a new extended contract. I think that's his third or fourth. And I think when you go back to Steven Gerrard's man management, he's continuously throwing money, longer contracts at the boy, and by doing that, you then control the situation. Whereas if you're into your last 18 months or so, then you start losing, the player starts to gain the control there. But if you're Steven Gerrard, you want this guy to score time after time, because by doing that, you can bridge the gap. I think it's 2 points at the moment to Celtic. With him in the team, you can start building the team round about him, because he's only what, he's just turned 22. So the actual reality is that he could be there for a few years. But I think we're on the land that where we realise that if there is a substantial bid, where Rangers are at as well. So again, that goes back to the recruitment, which is, I have to give them credit, particularly this summer, they've recruited a lot better than they did when they were first in. So, you know, they will not want to lose Morelos.
Gavin, is it not win-win though, that if Morelos keeps banging in the goals, it benefits Rangers in terms of where they are in the league and how they progress in various competitions? But as Alex says, the contract situation is such that, you know, they're protected, and if that day does come, then hopefully the fee is sizeable.
Yeah, well, I suppose every player has their price, and if a higher or a fourth comes in for them, he will be gone regardless. Obviously, because of the situation there the last couple of years, money has been tight for them. I know obviously they've got money coming to Europe and that just now, but at the same time, every player's got a price.
How important is he to you and your fellow Rangers fans at the moment, Gav?
Personally, the wee man's banging in the goals, so he's doing his job.
It's not just that, Gav, though. When you look at his general all-round play, the boy's improving time after time. His confidence, he actually looks so much more sharper. There was times where I was watching him last year and he looked you know, as if he was kind of toiling at times. Gav, that actually comes down to the mental side of it for me, because when you're 21 and, you know, you're not quite there, you're kind of in and out, the team wasn't doing particularly well, whereas this team's actually on the front foot, you know, particularly at Ibrox, where they're flying at the moment. There's plenty of goals going about, and he scored, 16 and 27. So it's a hell of a return for the first 4 months of the season.
I think Gavin, my view on it is that you've got to trust the process. You know, Steven Gerrard's got to coach him to get the absolute maximal out that he gets, and then, you know, the power sort of goes out of Gerrard's hands and into the hands of the board, whether they then sell him, and then it's the recruitment process of replacing him. You know, they've obviously brought him in for not huge sums of money, but then if he moves on, you're going to get a huge fee for him, and then you have to replace him for someone with less money.
What do you think about this week coming up, Gavin? The performance at the weekend, I think Steven Gerrard himself sort of admitting, you know, it wasn't a classic performance, but nevertheless a comfortable scoreline with the small matter of Villarreal round the corner.
I think I'm confident with the Villarreal, but due to the last game, they're not as great as what they used to be, but at the same time, I don't see where it's gone, to be honest. Hopefully a draw. I'll settle for a draw, but if we get the win, good stuff.
Alex, it was probably a confidence boosting result, maybe not a confidence boosting performance. Yeah. Almost before I ask you this, I can tell that it's a pretty hard question to answer, but how much, I don't know how you quantify
levels.
It, how much do you have to raise your level from what you did on Saturday for when Villarreal come?
Well, for starters, technically, Villarreal are kind of miles away. We're Livingston, with the greatest respect to them. They're two different stratospheres when it comes to financial muscle. They got a win at the weekend for the first time since September. Villarreal, they've been on a poor run. I'm surprised at that as well, Gordon, because I watched the first half. I was down in Wolverhampton and I watched the first half and I thought, oof, this is going to be an absolute tonking for Rangers. On the evidence I seen that day, I thought, oof. And then when I came out at the event I was at later on that evening, to realise that they'd actually drawn 2-2, I'm led to believe they really expressed themselves. They were very tentative. I think when you're at Ibrox, in a full house on a European night. It's all about tempo, playing like a Scottish style, getting in their faces and trying to get them on the back foot, you know. So I think that'll be the way Steven Gerrard goes about his business on Thursday.
It's a totally different game to what was played, you know, at Ibrox on Saturday. Villarreal's going to come out, it's going to be a lot more tactical and certainly a lot more technical. You know, Gerrard's alluded to the fact that Livingston have just tried to spoil the game. You know, the three big centre halves have probably just tried to make it ugly, to get it long, to get Rangers turned and to get them on the back foot. Villarreal won't do that. They'll come and they'll try and play and they'll try and pass through them, and it's a completely different test altogether.
Jim McLaughlin's on Twitter. He's a Partick Thistle fan, and he says, "I appreciate Alex's honesty talking about when you were 29. That's when you eventually." Yeah. But he says, "But your sending off at Fir Hill was a classic. Booked for a foul.
What was his name, Jim?
Yep, and then for a." You know, that universal gesture that people sometimes do to the fans.
What, cup your ear?
After scoring. Was it a cup of the ear? 100%
cup your ear. It was no kind of gesture. I actually ran for the 18 yard line to the halfway line. So I
it's
think
Jim distance.
Well, it's particularly when I tap a pile driver again. But to be fair, they were giving me dogs abuse. So, but in terms of, listen, I think I get sent off later on that season as well. But I think I was towing a caravan at that point. So
let you away with it on account of old age. Darren Urquhart is on Twitter. He says, in response to the conversation about Morelos, he says, "The best striker in Scotland and our most important player, no question about it."
Well, I'm sure there'll be some Celtic fans coming on and saying about Edward, similar age. I don't think he's scored as many goals this season, but they're two totally different. You know, you've got a guy that's, what, 6'2", different kind of body compositions, but the two of them are causing all sorts of havoc. If you look at Edward's form, Gordon, I think it's prolific in the last, what, 8 or 9 games. Plus, he's a totally different player. He actually brings more people into the game as well, you know, in terms of, and I don't know if that's because Celtic have got more goals from the wider areas, that looks more apparent, but the two of them are really good talents. I actually think it's commendable to the game we have up here that they've got young guys from different parts of the world and are making their name in Scotland.
Was that you sitting on the fence?
Well, it's difficult to say. The two of them are actually flying, Gordon. Actually, if he'd have said to me 6 or 7 weeks ago, I'd have said Morelos because he was scoring goals. But now Edward's up the ante brilliantly.
Yeah,
settled in.
Move over and give me a seat in the fence beside you, because I wouldn't like to pick one either. You know, they're both flying, they're both young.
I thought you said Edward and before the studio.
Listen, the Celtic fans are going to say Edward, the Rangers fans are going to say Morelos, and, you know, we're starting the fence together, so it's all good.
Watch you don't get splinters. 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB if you're on Twitter. And we're going to hear from Lee Griffiths, a return to the team, a goal scoring return to the team. We're going to hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call if you want to get involved. If you'd rather tweet, then we are at Clyde SSB. David's wanting a shout out for Stenhouse Muir because he says, "Performance of the weekend, a shout out please. Hammered Falkirk in the big derby." It's true, that was one of the standout results.
Fourth Bank
Valley.
Fourth Valley
Derby, that's it.
Did you know that?
No. You got there in the end. Alright, at Clyde SSB, like I say, on Twitter, 01419511025 is the phone number you need to get involved. I want to get your thoughts on Lee Griffiths, please. So give us a call. He says he's had to battle through hard times to get back to full fitness and into the Celtic squad. Remember, he hadn't featured since the start of October. He came back at the weekend and scored, and he says there was a number of reasons, including his weight, illness and calf problems.
It's always nice to be back on the pitch. You know, it's been a frustrating 5-6 weeks for me. I tried to build my fitness up to full fitness. So, you know, to come back and score like that was great. It was dark times. A lot of frustration going into it. But, you know, you just have to go on it. You have to do your rehab properly. It didn't help that I was ill for 10 days. And then obviously that took about my recovery time. So it was good to be back on the pitch and hopefully I'm fine on all cylinders.
Was that a calf problem again?
Aye, just a slight one. It's not as bad as what it's been before, obviously, but with being ill as well, it didn't help.
You get to the bottom of your calf problems? You had a few over it?
Aye, listen, these things happen. You know, it wasn't the same area as what I've had before. It was a different area. So, you know, hopefully it was just a minor injury and, you know, we can move forward.
You mentioned those dark times. Does this go make it even more sweeter, the fact that you've came in straight away and made an instant impact?
Yeah, that's what you want to do. Obviously, the manager put my side and said, "Look, going to 20 minutes and, you know, go on and do what you can." You know, I think it was actually my first touch that I scored with, so he was on the park for 5-6 minutes before I touched the ball, and I think I was standing at the pitch for 5-6 minutes as well. But no, listen, it's always nice to come back with a goal and,
you know, it's an important 3 points, and you know, we'll need to look forward to Thursday now. You know, speaking with the management and the sports science staff, that, you know, it's no secret I was a bit, you know, a bit heavier looking, but you know, over the course of the 6 weeks, you know, I've managed to drop a lot of weight and feeling a lot sharper. Hopefully, you know, I can continue by working hard in the training pitch, and when I get my chance, I can take it.
Almost a very Lee Griffiths thing to do, Alex, to be out for so long. He talks himself about dark times, and then to come in and just score with his first touch. He's always sort of just been at his happiest when he's there and banging goals in.
Yeah, that Gordon, I was actually writing down some of his quotes there. He was obviously talking about his calf issues. He's had that for a while now. It's a different area. It's actually concerning, because I didn't have any issues with calf over the problem, but people who did, it seemed to reoccur quite often. So that's obviously the first thing. He spoke about dark times. I've been there many times. I've had cruciate injuries and things, so I totally identify when you're going through a really tough period. The interesting thing for me was the weight issue. It was obviously stuff doing the rounds at the time. Whether we weren't quite sure. You'd obviously heard that throughout various sources. And now he's clarified that. And the interesting thing for me is that the timing of when the, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 weeks, six or seven weeks ago, yep. when it all started, we're kind of well into the season. There's a lot of European games, a lot of league action, training and everything. And he was, you know, and he's obviously saying that he's carrying some weight there. For the life of me, I can't understand a boy who's training day after day, playing with the first team, can be carrying weight. So they've obviously recognised that as a sports science team and the management team, and they've decided to withdraw him from the Scotland squad to try and get him up to speed. And then there's a reaction to the calf. It's been a combination, but you're absolutely right in what you say. The perfect way for Lee Griffiths to get back doing what he does best is to score goals. You see his happiness. It was his first touch, and he's rifled it into the far corner. And he'll be looking to now kick on, because for Celtic's point of view, if anything happened to Edouard, then you'd be looking to Griffiths to be the man to step right into the breach. But he has to be physically and mentally right for that, Gordon.
Celtic fans, what did you make of Lee Griffiths' return? And could he even play his way into the cup final team of the weekend? I know he doesn't have long, but you never know. 0141 951 1025. Craig, having played under Brendan Rodgers before, how will he have handled a player who's experiencing dark times, in his own words?
Yeah, I think first of all, I think it's a brave interview. I think it's a very honest interview. You know, he's picked up his illness, and he's picked up the calf niggle, and he's come out and he's labelled it as being dark times. So it looks like he's been, by his own accord, sort of struggling mentally. He's admitted that he's been struggling physically, and he's been carrying weight. You know, I'm pleased that he's come on and he's got a goal there on the weekend. And the one thing that Lee's got in his favour, he's got a manager that will back him to the hilt. I think he's already done so. I think he would have been instrumental in pulling him out of the Scotland squad to look after him. And Brendan will, you know, he'll have the right balance of when he needs a rocket, when he needs, you know, told no in certain terms, get the weight off you, get your finger out, sort your attitude out, and when he needs an arm around the shoulder and when he needs encouraged along. And you know, Brendan will back him all the way, and only Brendan will know how to manage him.
Think back to your time with him at Swansea. Is that how he goes about it? Give us a bit of an insight into that managerial style, because we always talk about man management, don't we, and how you handle certain situations.
Yeah, again, I think everybody's different, and for me, Brendan had it to a T. He was probably fortunate at Swansea, where we had a really, really good group of lads. You know, that was sort of from a few years before I got there, and that just continued. So there wasn't a lot to have to manage about that group, because the lads were, they were all already, you know, we were on the ball, we were good. And he came in, and I think that sort of showed the fact that we went on, we got promotion. But what he is good at is that he knows who needs a rocket and he knows who needs an arm.
It's about getting that balance going. I was just going to say there that Craig spoke about, in terms of he does back his players. The club's backed him as well. They've just given him a long-term contract as well. And they'll be looking for him to be that model professional, not to carry weight, and to get the best out of him, because it's important for the group. And you've just touched upon it there at Swansea. I think it's important for Lee to recognise that, you know, they'll get support, but there'll come a point that he has to then start delivering as well, and buy into what the manager and the medical team's saying.
Yeah, listen, from here on in, he's got to take charge of his own body. He's got to take charge of his career from now on in, because you will only get so many chances, especially at a club like that, as you well know. It's, you know, that they've got money at their disposal, they've got, you know, numerous players they could go out and sign. So if he doesn't now act on the support and the advice that he's been given, they will move him on. So, you know, the ball's in his court.
Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. What did you make of Lee Griffiths' comeback, Alec?
Obviously, it was great when he came on and got the goal. That was a bonus. But just to see him coming on the pitch and getting some game time, When you go to free kick, you know, you were like, you know, just Lee's luck at this, he'd hit the back of the net. But it was a good enough strike. He looks fit. He looks confident. And in these run of games that's coming up, we're going to need all the big players. And we were a wee bit light in the strike force. We're just having Hodgson coming in. And now we've got two. Mm. So between the two of them, you know, Brendan can start to give one a rest when need be and get the other one game time.
Yeah, I suppose, Alec, on a footballing sense, maybe Griffith's absence hasn't quite been felt yet because Edward has been in such good form. But that can't continue forever. And he also needs someone to be pushing him to bring the best out in him. So I suppose in that regard, it's good to have to have Lee Griffiths back. We always hear about competition for places and so on.
Yeah, you're 100% right. James DeForest and Scott Sinclair.
I thought you told Alec.
I was just thrown out there and seeing whatever one of you Alex wanted to reply.
I'll jump in.
Craig will help out.
My dad's Alex, so I'll jump in. Yeah. Now listen, Forrest and Sinclair and Edward have sort of stepped up to the plate when Griff's been missing. But now he's back and, you know, he's nicked a goal on the weekend and he's certainly not lacking any confidence. I know if you follow his social media, he returned to the Mac blasting out on the car on the way home, so he's certainly full of confidence already.
Oh my God, I didn't even know he was doing that. But listen, I think from his point of view, he's right, mate, says Alec, you need to have both. There may be times that, you know, you look at Steven Gerrard resting Morelos at the weekend. It may be a case that Edward may well need rested from time to time, because I think it's something along the lines of next 30 days there's 10 games. So I think you're going to need everyone. I think that was one of the things that Steven Gerrard did at the weekend as well, by actually putting on Lafferty. I think that's exactly what Celtic will be looking to do as well.
Alec, on the line, the other Alec, you want to come back in?
Yeah, last season when we had Hodgson on loan, Dembele and Griffiths was there, so Edward was the third choice striker. All of a sudden the boy was like, Dembele left, Griffiths has had these injury issues, and then Hodgson has had to take the weight of the club on his shoulders. And for a very young man, you know, for him to do that and to put the pressure aside, I think he's done remarkably well in the short space of time that, you know, this season.
Yeah, again, I agree with you. He's a young lad and there's a huge price tag that's came. You know, Celtic have smashed their own transfer record to bring the guy there, and he's had a sort of run at it last season. A little bit of an education, and Brendan's obviously liked what he's seen in order for him to pay that fee. But you know what, he's not a young player anymore. You know, he's what, 22 or something. So he has got to sort of step up, and he has done so, to his credit.
Okay, thank you to Alec in Parkhead. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. If you would rather tweet us, then we are at Clyde SSB. It's Craig Beattie and Alex Ray with me tonight. I can see the tweets worrying about Hugh Keevans. Don't worry, he's fine. He's just in Brighton, I think, on his holidays. So he's on his way back. He'll be on a train somewhere. I would say that he'll be tuned in, but I don't think the Nokia can do that sort of thing. And so I think we're safe.
I think the only thing he'll be tuned in is a glass of red wine.
Very possible.
At least he won't have a today's phone charger.
It's been charged up since March, I think. It's not gone out of charge yet. Okay, Chris is a Celtic fan from Mount Florida. Wants to talk about Alfredo Morelos. Hi, Chris.
Hi there, how are you doing? Listen, I think your show on at 6 o'clock. You know, as I've heard for the past half an hour, it sounds great, this Alfredo Morelos is.
Well, the last 10 minutes we've been talking about Lee Griffith, so I'm not really sure how that works out, but carry on anyway.
Aye. Listen, and can you tell me, do you think that he began the Celtic team?
Oh, good question. Morelos. Wait, the starting 11, do you mean the starting 11, Chris, or the squad?
Aye, no.
Which one?
All right, I'll be kind to him and say the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen,
did you think he'd get a game before French Eddie or Lee Griffith?
There's no question he gets in the squad. You know, we were asked earlier on, who do we think's the best at the minute? And I think the Rangers fans are going to say Morelos. I think the Celtic fans are going to say Edward. So I think myself and Alex have both agreed that we're sort of sat in the fence. If they were both in the same team, it would be a nice problem to have to pick, and they would certainly push each other. Would they be in the team in front of Griffiths at the minute? Absolutely, for the reasons that we've just discussed.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Chris, see if you combine Lee Griffiths and Edward's goals.
Right.
Morelos is only two goals behind the both of them. So, no, that's a fact. So,
well, that's a fantastic statement, Amy. That's great.
Well, no, it's a fact. I'm not making a statement. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact.
I mean, Griffiths has been out injured for a long time, so I'm,
I know. He's probably still getting more goals than the merit. Listen, I just don't think the guy to get an ex Celtic team at all. Really, honestly.
Yeah, but listen, maybe he wouldn't. I don't know for sure. Would you? So you wouldn't even give him a place in the squad, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't give him a seat in the bench. Even I think the guy's over that. I don't think the guy could take water if he fell off a boat.
Chris, not sure about Chris, hopeless, Chris. That's a bit of Chris, a stretch, is it not?
Chris, the thing is, it's important to come on and actually put your point. And I think it's important that we all listen to everyone's opinion. But to suggest that the boy wouldn't be near the Celtic squad is absolutely ridiculous. And
a Colombian international wouldn't go on the bench.
Well, listen, it's, even if you just take his goals, 16. The boy's 16 goals in 27 games, and yet he can't even go on the bench for Celtic. I think that's a stretch too far, even for you, Chris.
But listen, I remember a point in time when he may have red card when he can go season. Am I right in saying that?
On day one of the season when he got sent off, yeah, he would have had one red card and no goals, I guess. But
well,
I mean,
he'd scored goals in Europe, wouldn't he?
He's got 4 goals in Europe this season, Chris. So I know there's that thing that he hasn't done it against Celtic yet. Fair enough, but you know, it's not. But there's a bit more to it than that. He has scored 4 in Europe already this season.
Okay, but who's Rangers playing in Europe? I mean, the Doris Vegas here, apart from...
Well, you get 2 against Rapid Vienna.
Yeah, man, see, before they played Rapid Vienna, and Villarreal, and Spartak Moscow, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, come on, who have they played?
Yeah, but you get 2 against Rapid Vienna.
I know.
Chris, I've got a question for you. If Morelos is that hopeless, how come Rangers are only 2 points behind Celtic in the league?
I don't think it's only Morelos' goal.
It's not been.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think it's played a part, but that's fine. I have no problem with the sharing of opinions. 0141 951 1025. If you want to share yours, if you would rather do Twitter, then we are at Clyde SSB. Brendan Lally says, one of my mates just spotted Hugh on the train north of Carlisle. Do you know what? Yeah, it probably is true that I'm looking at the time. It might well be.
We'll be timing it so that the show finishes. I have to go and pick him up and take him at Bearsden.
It's taken a real bad turn on Twitter because John McIlvany says that he saw some footage of old Shug on Brighton nudist beach looking absolutely freezing. As long as he's happy, that's the main thing. I think we better move on and get to the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 2 ways for you to get in touch: on Twitter at ClydeSSB, or of course you can give us a call and join the debate on the line as well. That's exactly what Jamie, who's a Celtic fan from Alloa, has done. What's your point tonight, Jamie?
Hi panel, how you doing?
Good, thanks Jamie. What's on your mind?
So I'm just listening to the show, guys, and you're kind of talking about the difference between the two strikers, Morelos and Edouard. Both are good strikers, in my opinion. But when you take what's been said earlier on in the show about each striker kind of taking the weight of the club, if you like, when you compare the two of them in that regard, then it's Edouard that for me personally is the clearly better striker. Yes, he's maybe not scored as much goals, but he's showing a more maturity. He's handling the situation a lot better when you compare it to Morelos. Constantly getting sent off, constantly getting booked. Yes, can he bang goals in? Nobody's going to doubt that, but just my personal opinion, when you're comparing the two strikers, Edouard, far the better striker, just the way he's handling it all, his maturity about it, and obviously he is banging the goals in as well just now. I was just wondering what the panel saw of that.
Yeah, Jimmy, Morelos has been sent off twice, one of them's been rescinded. We know he plays on the edge, he's the type of player that has to play on the edge, a little bit like, I'm not comparing their ability, but Suarez down at Liverpool, who Gerrard knows and who he's worked with. Where I'm a little bit sort of miffed is that this is central and west central Scotland for us. Like, can we not just enjoy that there's two players on top form at the minute? One plays for Rangers, one plays for Celtic. Does there always have to be this comparison? Who's the best? He would get in our team, he wouldn't get in our team. You know, can you not just enjoy that the fact that there's two top players, two top talents in the country?
I said at the start of the week, we have got two good strikers.
Yep.
I'm not denying that, but I think we all know you're always going to get this bit of banter. He's a better striker, no? That's unfortunately, if you support either of the old firm, that's going to happen.
You know, you take Morelis's goals out the Rangers team as well, and you know, they certainly wouldn't be where they are. So there's an element of he's sort of carrying Rangers as well as Edouard's carrying Celtic.
And that's true, and I think that comes out.
Well, then, to be fair though, you've probably got a situation where there are more Celtic attackers also contributing, whereas I think Morelis has made it clear, Alex, over the last couple of weeks, that he is Rangers' main man, pretty much. I don't think you can doubt that. Whereas the way Celtic have been playing recently, you could go on all day about it. You know, is it Edouard? Is it Christie? Is it Forrest? Is it, you know, Rogic, Cham, whatever? Whereas I think Steven Gerrard basically spoke about it at the weekend that Rangers just weren't at it until Morelos came on.
I think that's the listen, obviously what colour of specs you're wearing in terms of your opinion on this subject. In terms of what Morelos brings to Rangers, he is bringing goals. He's bringing a level of performance that I haven't seen last year. I didn't see this consistency. So again, it's a young boy. And it's interesting what Jamie kind of touches upon. He was mentioning his discipline. And I think it's evident for everyone to see that Morelos always plays on the edge, whereas I don't quite get that same perspective when I look at Edouard. So they're different characters in that sense. I think you made a good point there, Gordon, in terms of the goals being quite kind of across the board when it comes to Celtic. The front line are prolific at the moment. I think Christie's got 3 and 6, and James Forrest, I think, is 12 and 12, something like that. It's, you know, they're scoring goals from all over the place at the moment. And I think, let's put it this way, I think if one of them went out the team, I think Rangers would miss Morelos more. That's what I think. That would be a fact.
How much does Alfredo Morelos need to score against Celtic for this conversation to move on a bit? Because it's the one stick that's still used to beat him with.
Yeah, well, it was the same with Chris Boyd for years. But it's one of the things that's fascinating, because you always be gazed there, because they are the yardstick. Celtic are the champions, and you have to score against the champions to try and overhaul them. See the goals that you score against, like your Livingstons, your Hamiltons, and all the other teams, they're equally as important, purely for the point of view, as Steven Gerrard says at the weekend, it wasn't that great, but it's a big 3 points for us. So it's all relevant, but the quicker he gets that goal against Celtic, Gordon, the better it will be for him, purely for the point of view, as that puts that to bed. The amount of chances he got last year against Celtic, and I have to say, when you look at compare the both where Rangers are now to where they were last year, if he can get in the positions, I feel as if he's better equipped now, purely for the point of view as every time he gets in front of goals, you think he's going to score. And that's evident when you look at his goal ratio.
What about, and by the way, it's funny how things just sort of take off. It was just one tweet and now we are really comparing the two. Didn't necessarily mean to sit out that way. What about Edouard's part in Celtic's opener at the weekend? I remember in particular when he came short from the corner kick.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I mean, is that what he brings? Because obviously we always talk about goal scoring. Of course, it's hugely important, but sometimes a bit more to it than just comparing numbers.
Yeah, well, I actually think the two of them are actually developing quite well, Gordon. If you look at Edouard, early part of the season, I think with the 2 goals in his first 12, people think, whoa, they were expecting a bit more. He's actually firing now. So that's the goal side of things. Edouard is actually learning. For me, when you look at Dembele last year, similar age, he led the line a lot better. He had a lot more physical presence. But I think Edouard has grown as the season's gone on. And when you see that, the back heel, the actual training ground, it was perfect. The layoff, everything clicked for the Christie goal. But I see Edouard and I like a lot of his attributes. He bustles people out the way. He physically bullies people. He brings people into play. And he can also drive past people and get in the box. And you've seen his goals since he's came to Scotland. He's got all different variations. So, listen, the two boys have got plenty of quality going forward.
And what we remember is they're both a work in progress as well.
Yeah.
When you spend, like, Rangers spent what, 12 million on Tore Andrew Flo, 6 million for John Artson at Celtic, and they were seasoned pros at that point, so they know the game. Now they've got two young lads that are learning their trade, and they're learning every week.
John is on the line. Thank you to Jamie. John is a Hibs fan from Dalkeith. What's your point tonight, John?
Good evening, panel. First of all, another fantastic night. It makes my journey from Glasgow to Edinburgh daily a lot more pleasurable. So
the traffic on that road, John, is not good, is it? Need
no,
somebody to keep you company.
It's good to listen to you, lads.
Good man. What's your point tonight?
My point is about what I think is football's forgotten man, Scott Allen. Obviously, I'm a Hibs season ticket holder. Last year was fantastic. We had a great midfield. Unfortunately, we lost John McGinn and Dylan McGeoch. A lot of people forget that we lost McGeoch out of that team. But we also lost Scott Allen. Now, I see on social media at the weekend, Scott Allen was away taking his wee one for a haircut whilst Celtic were playing. And I just think it's an absolute total waste of a fantastic football talent that is not playing for a Scottish football team. I just wondered if anybody has any thoughts on that, particularly given Ryan Christie wasn't in the Celtic team and has now been rightly praised for his performances for Scotland and Celtic. And I think Scott Allen is up there with him, talent-wise. I don't know if it's an attitude problem, but he seemed to play. He always seems to play pretty well for Neil Lennon, and I just wondered what the panel thought of that.
Yeah, John, there's no question Scott Allen's got he's got ability, and I'm sure Alex will agree with me here that that's probably about 10% of what you need to become a football player. He's obviously got to move to Celtic, and he's had what, three loan deals since then. Rotherham, Dundee and Hibs he's been at. Scott Allen would probably be better suited to answer your question in full, but you know, there must be, there's something going on. If he's out taking his kids for a haircut or whatever it may be on a Saturday afternoon rather than being involved in a match day squad and preparing for a game, then there's certainly something wrong. And you know, even when you're not involved in squads, my experience is that you go along and you support the lads. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you know, Scott Allen won't be happy, and he certainly needs to up his ideas.
I worked with Scott Allen. I was part of the scout network at MK Dons under Carl Robinson when we brought Scott Allen. He's obviously chosen to go to Celtic. It hasn't worked for him. He went up to Dundee the early part of last season and then played a big part for you guys, John, at the second part. I actually think it's tragic when you see a player like that, you know, Scotty, not playing. John, he's played, John, 88 league starts and he's 26. So at some stage, Scott Allen has to find a fit for him. Now the problem he has at the moment is you're on a very good salary at Celtic.
I was going to ask that, is that the problem? Because when you get a big move to Celtic or Rangers in this country, that can be a fantastic opportunity. Look at Ryan Christie. It didn't come easy, it didn't come straight away, but look at him now, and he's in the first team and he's flying and he's playing for his country. Does the problem come though when you get given that big contract? If there does become an opportunity to move, invariably the clubs that are going to offer you a contract cannot compete with that, and then you have a serious decision to make. It's easy for us to say, oh, you would just leave and you would go and play football, but you could genuinely be talking, I don't know, a quarter of the wage, a fifth of the wage that, well, that you're on.
If you look at Hibs last year and Dundee, I would suggest that maybe paying a quarter of the salary, maybe 30-40% at the very best. Now the problem is the boy's not going to leave Celtic to take a 5 or 6 grand hit to join a Hibs or another team similar size. So he's caught in limbo at the moment, and his actual career stalled. He needs to get back out playing. Listen, it's in Celtic's interest as well. So I don't know whether they're playing hardball and saying, listen, you need to go, we'll give you a small payoff, but come January he needs to get out, John. For a guy of his quality, we want to see guys like that in the league.
Good point made by John and Dalkeith. We're going to have to leave it there. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Craig Beattie and Alex Ray are both standing by, and if you want to take them on tonight, pick up the phone right now, 01419511025. Do it quick, because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock if you fancy tonight's Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Craig Beattie and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking back on a busy weekend in Scottish football. It was a cracking fixture card on Saturday. 6 games. We looked back at Celtic's win against Hamilton and Rangers against Livingston. Lots more coming up though, so get in touch and we'll get to that after we play this.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is indeed time for Beat the Pundit. Alex Ray and Craig Beattie are here. Remind me, Craig, we don't get the pleasure of your company too often. What's your record?
I'm unbeaten.
Played 1-1-1?
2-0.
Two? Oh, he's 100%. And hear that, that's the boxing fan coming out and I'm 2-0. That's how they describe it in combat sports rather than beat the pundit. Doesn't get that feisty on here, honestly. Marcus is in Denison. Fancy this tonight, Marcus?
I'm not bad.
Good stuff. Now, Marcus, just for getting on, you've actually already won yourself a pair of tickets to a Legends of Scottish Football event with Danny McGrain, Davy Hay and Frank McAvenny on Monday the 7th of January at Glasgow's Royal Concert Hall. There you are. We're going to do that all week. It would have been nice if I'd mentioned it a bit earlier, but I forgot. That's the truth. It's all right, to be honest. There you are. You've won it. So we're going to do that all week. And don't worry, we'll get Rangers 1 sorted in the coming weeks as well. Good Christmas present, that. You'll be happy. So even if you don't win, beat the pundit, you've won the tickets nevertheless, but it would be nice to get a victory.
Can I go now?
No, you cannot. You've committed to this. You're stuck. Heads, it's going to be Craig Beattie. Tails, it's Alex Ray. And it is heads.
Oh, he's went, yes, bring it on.
What is it they say? Someone's always got
Somebody's always got to go.
Marcus up against Craig. Let me give Craig some Clyde 2 in his ear. Yep, so they can't hear what we are saying. And we'll get your clock ready, Marcus. It's 30 seconds. You're going head to head. Remember, the secret is you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yeah.
Which English club did Louis Moult join after leaving Motherwell?
Preston.
Which current championship side knocked Rangers out of the 2012-13 Challenge Cup?
Aston Villa.
Who scored an own goal in Celtic's 3-0 win against Hamilton?
Repeat that again.
Who scored an own goal in Celtic's 3-0 win against Hamilton?
Pass.
Which town did Raith Rovers play in?
Kirkcaldy.
Which St Mirren player scored a double in the win against Hearts at the weekend?
Oh, I don't know. Pass.
Who won the 1991 Scottish Cup?
Rangers.
Okay, let me bring Craig back. Craig, are you with us?
Yeah, I got you.
You are right. Same set of questions to you. Ready?
Yep.
Which English club did Louis Moult join after leaving Motherwell?
Forest.
Which current championship side knocked out Rangers in the 2012-13 Challenge Cup?
Raith Rovers.
Who scored an own goal in Celtic's 3-0 win against Hamilton?
Pass.
Which town did Raith Rovers play in?
Kirkcaldy.
Which St Mirren player scored a double in the win over Hearts?
Hamill.
Who won the 1991 Scottish Cup?
Celtic.
Which East Coast team are currently top of Scottish League One? Quick.
He's five.
Time's up. How do you think it went, Marcus?
I don't know.
You've got the tickets anyway, but let's see if we can get you a win on Beat the Pundit. First question: which English club did Louis Moult join after leaving Motherwell? It was Preston North End. You got it, Marcus. Craig didn't. 1-0. Which current championship side knocked out Rangers in the 2012-13 Challenge Cup? Marcus, see if I was harsh, I'd have docked you points for thinking that Aston Villa played in the Scottish Challenge Cup.
Sorry, anyway, if you
the pressure was on you, don't worry. Listen, Craig didn't get it either, so you're still 1-0 up. Who scored an own goal in Celtic's win against Hamilton? Can you remember his name, Alex?
No.
Scott Martin. Remember?
Who was the championship club? Was it Allo?
Oh, Queen of the South. Sorry, Queen of the South. Scott Martin scored the own goal for Hamilton, so it's still 1-0 to Marcus. Not a classic start, I must say. Question 4: which town do Raith Rovers play in? It is Kirkcaldy, a relatively easy one. But you both got it, so still 1 up to Marcus. Craig equalised finally on question 5. Which St Mirren player scored a double in the win against Hearts? It was Adam Hamill. Number 7, who won the 1991 Scottish Cup?
Jambos.
Nope.
Aberdeen.
Nope.
Rangers.
We could be here all night. It was Motherwell. None of you got that one right. So it's still 2 all. On to the last question. So it all comes down to this, Marcus, because you didn't get this far and Craig did. If he gets it right, he wins. If not, we're going to a tie break. Which East Coast team are currently top of Scottish League One? Craig said he's Fife. The answer is Arbroath. So we are going to go to the tiebreaker, and in an unprecedented move, I'm going to change this tiebreaker because I'll explain my thinking. I might be wrong, but I think this has got a drastic advantage to Craig Beattie, this question, and I don't think we can have it in the interests of fairness. So I'm going to think on my feet, and that's why I'm still talking at the moment, just to try and to try and come up with another question, because I think this would be unfair. I think Craig would nail this. I might be wrong though. I'm just trying to figure out where you were at this point in your career.
Right, what one of my 19 clubs was that?
Yeah, exactly.
Marcus, I hope you win here because he's changing the question, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so Marcus, I'm going to read the question out. I'm then going to invite Craig to write his answer down, and I'll then tell you to give me your attempt, alright? How many points does St Johnstone have in the Premiership? Write it down quickly so you don't have time to look at anything that's nearby. I don't think we've got a table. How many points do St Johnstone have in the Premiership? Craig, show me your answer quickly. Okay, Marcus, what's your attempt?
24.
How many?
24.
Marcus says 24. Craig says 21. Marcus has nailed it right on the nose. 24.
Yeah.
You've got to take your hat off to him. Well done, Marcus. Not only do you beat the pundit, you've got the signed ball, you've got the two tickets to the Legends of Scottish Football event with Danny McGrain, Davy Hay and Frank McAvenny on Monday the 7th of January at Glasgow's Royal Concert Hall. Sound good?
I just to say Neil up, Craig.
Well done, Marcus. Well done, mate.
Marcus, he's absolutely devastated. He's unbeaten run has gone. Over
I just want to know what the question was supposed to be.
What year were you at Hearts?
12.
It was in what year did Auchinleck get through to face Hearts in the Scottish Cup? So I thought it would be unfair.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that was the only round I never scored then, to be honest.
Had to get that.
Well done, Marcus. Getting up to in the second round.
Right, remember folks, all week, just for getting through to play Beat the Pundit, you can win yourself tickets to that event. It's at the Concert Hall on the 7th of January. Danny McGrain, Davy Hay and Frank McAvenny. Ideal just in time for Christmas. You can still go out and buy the tickets, of course. And there is a similar event for Rangers fans coming up. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks' time. So there we go. I'm glad I changed that. Because did you play that game against Auchinleck?
No, I wasn't there at that point.
Oh, you weren't there at that point?
No, I never went to... I left Swansea, went up there and just after the window shut in January.
Ah, so they played just before that. In fact, it would have been weeks before that, would it not? January, this stage of the cup coming up.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, 0141 951 1025 to get involved in tonight's discussion. Let's take a bit of a look ahead to the League Cup final. I mean, it's only Monday and both Celtic and Rangers are playing in Europe before then, so let's not look too far ahead. But what impact does a result like Aberdeen's at the weekend have going forward? I mean, I think it's fairly obvious to say they would have liked to have gone into the League Cup final on the back of a win. Not only did they not win, I mean, they got well beaten 3-0 at Motherwell. How does that impact them going forward this week?
It's a body blow for Derek McKenzie's preparations, Gordon, purely for the point they were on the back of three straight wins, and they would have been going there full of confidence, looking to capitalise on that and go into the final, just put their tactics and concentrate and all that. But now they have to focus on putting a defeat behind them. It may well Derek McInnes may well be thinking, right, okay, they have to mix this up a little bit, try and get some sort of response. And but like you said, it was comprehensive. They had a couple of chances, Aberdeen, at crucial stages, and just didn't even hit the target, which was poor from that point of view. They don't look to me as if they've got a lot of goals throughout their team. The boy Wilson's been extremely disappointing. Stevie May has been disappointing. You know, but so we'll be looking for guys like Ferguson and that to make an impact. McGinn, Mackay Stephen could be crucial. So these are guys that are going to have to be at the top of their game to get anything against Celtic.
Is it as simple as denting the confidence, or does it in fact perhaps give you the kick up the backside you might need?
I think they were well and truly beat, but I think where Derek McInnes will take a wee bit out of it is that the goals that they lost were horrendous and there were mistakes. The first one was an outrageous square pass to one centre half, which was cut out, and Johnson's gone on and finished really, really well. The third one, the Aberdeen defenders kicked it off his own player and kept it alive in the box, and again a really good finish. So it's not like the goals that they lost, they were cut open and you know they were torn to shreds. There were mistakes. So Derek will be more hopeful than anything that they can rectify that and get back on track.
Any Aberdeen or Motherwell fans out there who want to discuss that game, now's your time. 01419511025. Derek McInnes admits they were well beaten. He doesn't think that it will impact the League Cup final, and he says the level of performance will have to be far greater at Hampden.
Total contrast to how we've been about it. We've been very pleased with how we've been performing in terms of getting results, showing real resilience, getting plenty of clean sheets, restricting opponents to very few opportunities. But I thought today we were well beaten all over the pitch. You know, two of the three goals are calamitous, really. You know, from our corner kick to then 10 seconds later be picking the ball out of our net. Next week will be something similar in terms of the level of performance will need to be far greater. The game itself will demand that. Normally, the bigger the game, the bigger the performance, and hopefully the bigger the game next week will bring the best out of my players. It's an important week. I think we've got to be honest and look at this. I think it's important we don't dwell on it too much and we concentrate on what could be a fantastic outcome next Sunday. We've got to go there with a belief that we can get a result. And I think that, for this week in itself, it's important that we all knuckle down and prepare as properly as we can to bring a performance that's going to be needed.
Did the cup final contribute to this?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't have thought so. There was enough reference to it about we can't have an eye on next week and beat and think we can beat our best and get a result today.
Now Derek McInnes and Aberdeen are going to have to bounce back from a disappointment. That's exactly what Motherwell did. Remember a 7-1 hammering before the break at Rangers. The Motherwell boss says Danny Johnson put his best performance for the club yet and says there's more to come from youngster David Turnbull.
Yeah, it was a good performance, a good reaction to what happened a couple of weeks ago at Ibrox. So, you know, it takes strong characters to do that, and, you know, so very impressed with them tonight. They set about their task. I thought we were really well organised. We were physical when we needed to be physical, but I thought we showed a heck of a lot of quality that, of course, you guys won't write about, but we did. We showed a lot of quality for some super, super performances for some of the younger players and the older experienced ones as well. We've worked with Danny. We brought him up. We knew what Danny was. He's a goal scorer at lower levels. Could we improve his overall game? And I think you can see that already. He's starting to improve. As we do it, this football club, you know, we don't have the luxury of spending £9 million in players or £2 million in fullbacks and things. We get kids from non-league, we get players who aren't playing in League 2, and we develop our own young boys. That's our strategy. So you need good coaches, but you also need players that buy into that and want to learn, and Danny's one of those, and I have to give him credit. I believe he can get better. His general overall play's really improved, and I thought it was his best performance so far. So,
Turnbull as well, because I mean, he could easily have snatched at that one.
You won't fluster David. I'm not sure an earthquake would fluster David. He's the most calm and relaxed boy about, and, you know, again, we manage him. We need to manage him. We're trying to get him to get 90 minutes of that intensity. Same with Alan Campbell, you know, who's had a hard summer. So listen, we're really pleased with David. I still think there's a lot more to come from.
0141 951 1025. It's always the case. Sometimes when you get a surprising result, Alex, you go for the criticism of the so-called big team, and you perhaps forget the other side of it. Stephen Robinson will be delighted at the way his team went about their business.
I think he'll be looking for some sort of response on the back of a couple of wins. They get demolished at Ibrox, and it's a perfect response for him. As I said to you, I like the boy Turnbull. We were just talking during the break there. I like his qualities, you know, but the bigger man has started to kind of good deliveries as well. The boy Danny Johnson, I said in the show on Saturday where he's gone, I was surprised, because at the start of the season I felt as if he looked as if he could be a really big player this year. He's tended to go with Mayne and Bowman, but this obviously getting a brace at the weekend, he may well have found a partnership with Curtis Mayne. But Motherwell need to try and go on a little run now and try and kind of start kind of making an impact up the way, because obviously we'll be St Mirren winning at the weekend as well. It starts kind of getting a bit closer. So, you know, I think Stephen Robinson were absolutely delighted to beat a team like Aberdeen the manner in which they did.
Yeah, I think he's given us a little insight into how difficult it is managing a club like Motherwell as well, and they've not got a huge budget. And he alluded to the fact here that he's signing players from non-league or League 2 and having it work with young lads. He mentioned Campbell, you know, Johnson, Turnbull. So, you know, credit to him. He must be doing something right, because the players are starting to play.
Tam is a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. Tam, it's almost too early for Celtic to be looking at the League Cup final, because they've got the small matter of the Europa League. But that just sums up how big a week it is going to be for your team, doesn't it?
That's it, aye. But as a club like Celtic, you need to go take things forward, to be honest with you. It's quite easy to win these competitions, but we can only play what's put ahead
in front of
us.
Yeah.
Just to argue that point between Edward and Morales, surely the £9 million price tag that was put on Edward just proves he's a clinical goal scorer. Big games, big players turn up, and for me, he turns up and scores goals. For Morales, he's a headbanger. He just gets sent off left, right and centre.
Well, it doesn't really though. Has that not been a bit unfair, Tam?
I think it comes down from the mentality. Where's he from? Is it come there?
Yeah, but you say left, right and centre. He's had 2 red cards this season and one was rescinded.
And on the basis of that, did Rangers go on and win the game?
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
Was that in the original point? I think the original point was he's getting sent off left, right and centre. Not that was costing the team. Tam, I think that
would be my point. It's early days, and I totally agree that we've got good Scottish strikers. Well, other countries come in here and playing in Scotland. But for me, he needs to start calming down on the park and just be a team member, a team player.
Tam, let me go back to your first point here, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, because I've already said a couple of times that I can't split them. I don't know who I think is the best player. Your first point was that the £9 million paid for Edward means he's a better player. What about Morelos? They haven't paid that amount of money for him, and he's still acting the way he is and playing to the level that he is carrying Rangers.
Well, that's it.
But he's not come with that £9 million transfer fee. So
is that not more impressive?
Yeah, does that not strengthen his case?
That's impressive from the Rangers backroom staff to have the scouting options in there, right? Of course.
Take the backroom staff away and just talk about what the two players are doing. The fact that he's not came with a £9 million fee and what he's actually producing on the pitch. For me, that's sometimes better than actually signing a really expensive player who's supposed to do that anyway. And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Listen, I 100% agree with you there, but then you need to turn around and say, because of his background from Colombia, he's got a fighting mentality, which is great for goal scoring, but then he needs to chill out a little bit and say, listen, don't get involved in needless little tackles or don't get wound up by opposition players.
Yeah, listen, Ian Wright's not from Colombia, and he was one of the most fiery players the English Premier League's ever seen. He played on the edge all the time to the point he was two-footing goalkeepers.
Tam, I was looking at the stats for last season just to kind of, he's only been up here for a year and a half, and you're right what you said, he's had two red cards so far this season, one's been rescinded. If you take the Helsinki where he came from last year, and then obviously Rangers, he was involved in 55 games and didn't get one red card. So there's a misconception. I think there's actually the boys starting to get stereotyped as well as I think this is just my opinion, that there's times where referees are looking for him because he is very emotional as well. He gets involved in things where he shouldn't do. And I think, as we've already said, it's an area where I believe that he can improve in, but there has to be a balance where you don't lose that kind of aggression, because it's very much part of his game. But so it's about getting the balance where it's not going to cost Rangers, i.e. the semi-final. Yeah,
I tell you what you can't condone is the talking back to the referees and getting booked for dissent. That's not good enough, because if he is going to play in the edge, then that will cost his team and it will cost him long term.
We are a bit short on time, but on this very topic, so let's keep it going. John is a Rangers fan in Maryhill. He's got something along similar lines. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing there?
Good, thanks.
I'm just wondering, like, for a £9-10 million striker, whatever they want to call him, how many goals does a £9-10 million striker need to score in the SPL? Nobody can answer it. I would like to hear people give me an opinion on it, please.
What do you mean by that? How many goals does he need to score?
This season should he score? If I paid £10 million for a striker, I think it should be 40 plus in the SPL. A £10 million striker coming to the SPL should be 40 first goals a season.
I think it's fair to say that for me, Edouard will score a minimum of 20 goals. A minimum. Just because of the chances. If you look at it, is he 8 in the last 10? So for me, he will most certainly get into the 20. And then, all depending on how well he does fitness wise, he may well kick on for there. Because I think a top striker in this country should be looking at a minimum of 25 to 30 goals.
So not 40?
I think 40. I know Lee Griffiths done it a couple of years ago, but that was like a one-off season.
10 million? This is like maybe five times the money they paid for Lee Griffiths.
Yeah, but there's only so many you can score, John. That's like saying if somehow Rangers or Celtic, if Celtic went and signed a £20 million striker that he needs to score 60 goals. There's only so many you can score.
I just think when you look at the difference of the price tags, I would be scratching my head if I was Celtic saying, why have we bought this guy for this price and we've got a guy who scored more goals, more assists in the league, more in Europe, more assists in Europe, more goals, and thinking we've paid £1 million and we've paid £9 for him? I would be asking questions, but it seems that nobody wants to criticise Brendan Rodgers' signings. And I think for £9 million, do you think Edward is worth the money? Just now, right here, as games and goals scored, is he worth the £10 million?
Yeah, well, Tam, I said earlier on, and it's important
John.
To be... John, it was Tam as before. I think it's important to put all this in balance. Everybody's getting a wee bit carried away because someone's saying somebody's better than the other. Edward had a really slow start to in terms of goal thinking, but sometimes it takes time for players to then settle into the environment, to the system. If you remember, Edward played on the left-hand side a lot of the times last year because Dembele was through the middle. So he's learning to kind of carry the team as a number nine effectively. And if you look at the 8 goals in the last 10, so the fact is that he's playing week in, week out. Celtic are top of the league. Celtic will be happy with him. It doesn't really matter whether he's 1 million, 4 million, 10 million. The fact is that he's doing a job for Celtic and they'll be happy with that.
Now, we really are late for this. Thank you to John. So I'm going to have to move on. We've got the full-time teaser coming up next. And St Mirren fans, huge win for you at the weekend. Can that be the turning point in your season? Yes or no? 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Craig Beattie are here with me, Gordon Duncan. And if you want to join us, two options. 01419511025 on the phones. Or Twitter is at Clyde SSB. St Mirren fans, where are you? You got your big win at the weekend. Could this be the turning point in your season? Yes or no? It was a fantastic win against Hearts and a stunning goal in there as well. So come on, celebrate on the lines. 01419511025. Another contact that you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where to send your questions in if you want to get involved on the full-time teaser. That's what Chris Docherty has done tonight. And he sent this question, and now this has only got five answers.
Good.
So phones away, please. And I'm not going to tell you yes or no as we go along, because there's only five.
Right, okay.
So you're going to have to, we can think out loud as the show goes on, and then we'll have to settle on five answers. So the question is this: since the Champions League started in 92, only five Scottish players have played in at least the semi-final or the final. So got to the semi-final onwards, basically. Can you name them? So since the Champions League started in 92, only five Scottish players have played in the semi-final or the final of the Champions League.
Right, I'm coming right in with Paul Lambert.
I was going to say that.
Too late. Four to go.
You sure that one's right?
Well, I know. Was it before? Yeah, so Scottish players.
Right, I've got another one. Do you want to get like a chance?
No, I mean, you can say them aloud. David Robertson telling you. Who?
Sort of by your pan. Andy Robertson.
Okay.
He's flying, isn't he?
I told you I'm not telling you yes or no, but I mean, I some of them would be fairly obvious. So I mean, that's two suggestions. You're going to have to settle on five. I'm not telling you as you go along. Five Scottish players have played in the semi-final or the final of the Champions League.
Right, we'll part get there now.
Will you get back to me?
Yes, we're expecting a few calls, if I know.
That's all gone quiet. They just want to wait for you.
Not a chance.
Okay. 01419511025. Let's continue our weekend review, shall we? One of the big results of the weekend came in Paisley. Oren Kearney says his St Mirren side need to get used to their 2-0 win over Hearts at the weekend. Use it as a catalyst, to get going. Adam Hamill scored both the goals in Paisley. Kearney says there's plenty more to come from him.
We've worked extremely hard, and it's only probably been this week where you're starting to see flashes that the legs are starting to come and starting to look more like these videos looked, more than anything else, or more what I would have wanted or expected. So I would say that's only the start for Adam, and I would hope, you know, provided we can keep working him hard off the pitch and get him up to a level that we would like, I think his quality is there to see.
Are you hoping this can be the start for your team as well, and this can be a turning point?
Yeah, of course you hope that, and I think we've been on that run, I suppose, of bad luck and decent performances and good performance, but we haven't quite had the result to go with it. And I think today, of course, I've seen our lads in the hard aspect of it, which is trying to deal with the defeat after defeat after defeat and the character that they've shown. And now, I suppose, you're very hopeful that this will be a good release for them. And ideally, we want training to go up another notch next week and hopefully use this as a catalyst.
St Mirren fans, 01419511025. Your manager wants to use it as a catalyst. Can it be that? Can it be a turning point? What did you make of it at the weekend? I think Adam Hamill's first goal seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, fantastic strike. You don't hit them. You don't buy a ticket for the raffle. You're not going to win it. So he's had a pop from distance, and it's a fantastic goal. And do you know what? The way St Mirren have been playing and the lack of chances we're creating, I think they needed something like that.
He's the one player for me that Oren Kearney has brought in that can actually make a difference. He played at a good level down in England. He's clearly tried to get him up to speed, as you mentioned in that clip there, and you can see the rewards of it. I'm going to throw that out there so far. That is the best goal I've seen to date this season. To see that from that distance and then execute it was absolutely fantastic, because the Hearts keeper is a decent keeper as well. So for me, that's the best goal I've seen so far.
Goal of the season so far, says Alex Ray. Do you agree or disagree? Either way, whether it was a 1 yard tap in or a 40 yard screamer, it'd just be a delight for Oren Kearney and those St Mirren fans to finally get that win and just try and get to a stage where they can look upwards if possible.
I think after the initial game against Celtic, there was a wee bit of optimism, and there hasn't been much, if any, since. I'm delighted for him that he's got off to a win. I know he's inherited a huge squad, which is probably lacking in the quality they would like. He has started to add to it, and hopefully turns a corner, because as far as I'm aware and what I'm hearing, that he's a super coach and a really good guy. So I wish him well, and I hope he can build on that.
It's a secret sources you've got. You're going to name names?
No, I wouldn't name names, because he works at the club. I certainly wouldn't name his name on the radio in case he's listening. But by all accounts, he's a really good coach. And unfortunately, at the minute, he's having it work with a lot of players, as I say, that he's inherited, huge numbers. I think they train with two different squads. They've got that many players, which is just wrong on so many levels. But he needs an opportunity to build on it. And if what I'm being told is accurate, then I'm sure he will build on it.
On the flip side, you will hear phrases like "the wheels have come off" for Hearts, "the bubble has burst" for Hearts, and so on and so forth. They all mean the same thing: horrendous injuries, no getting away from it. But it looks like it's certainly starting to have an impact.
Yep, a lot of cliches getting thrown around with Hearts. What I did see in the paper today was that Craig Levein has booked their winter training camp, And the first thing I thought was, wow, doesn't he half need that? There'll be a lot of clubs like St Johnstone and that are in good form, that are in a good run, that won't be wanting the break, but Hearts will be, they'll have one eye on that to try and galvanise their squad and get them a bit of a rest.
It was somewhere sunny, wasn't it?
Yeah, out in Spain, yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in Spain.
How beneficial,
Murcia.
I take it you've had a few of them over the years.
Aberystwyth.
I couldn't tell you my winter training story on air, I'm afraid.
Oh dear. I need to get that one out.
Seven points in the last six games from Hearts. It's very poor when you consider the teams round about them. You know, Celtic, Rangers, St Johnstone, 16 points from that period. So it's been a massive turnaround. I think Stephen Naismith, Ake Piezu are the two key ones. You know, defensively looked a bit shaky as well at the weekend. So for me, the quicker they can get at least one of them back, the better they'll be for Craig. And the winter break can't come quick enough, but he will try to stay within the pack in the meantime these coming games.
Yeah, I think what he's done is they've certainly given himself a chance by being so good early in the season. But you know, you're right, they need to certainly regroup and galvanise and go again.
Again, it's hard to look too far ahead this week because there's so much going to happen before then. But Connor's on, who's a Hearts fan. He wants to ask you, Craig, as a former Hearts player, what are your thoughts on the weekend's game at Tynecastle? He's not feeling too confident. Connor thinks it'll be another defeat with the way that Rangers have been playing of late. Now, a couple of weeks ago, remember they met at Ibrox and it was building, you know, it was a huge game because Hearts were absolutely flying at that point. Rangers got the 3 points that afternoon. I mean, can you go the other way? Can it perhaps be in Hearts' favour that there's not the same expectation level?
Hearts were flying in the lead up to that game and they started well for the first 25 seconds until their set piece went awful wrong. Like, just really bad preparation, lazy defending, and ended up they got smashed that day. Looking forward to the weekend. You know, Tynecastle is somewhere that I hold fondly. You know, the fans absolutely love me through there. I love going back there.
And even if you say so yourself.
Even if I say so myself. And I would love to say that they've got a chance on the weekend. But, you know, Rangers have been super for them. You know, they've got luxury of resting Morelos and playing Amazon when they like. Ken Lafferty's back in there going back to Tynecastle. The injuries are mounting and Hearts are really up against it at the minute. So, unfortunately, I can't back them this weekend.
The saving grace for Hearts is that at Tynecastle, since they've been back, Craig, they've been really, really good. You know, and it's interesting because I was covering the game for Clyde a couple of weeks ago, and when you say that they were trounced, actually, see, for a period, you know, when equalised, you thought they really looked impressive. They got after Rangers, and then obviously they had a couple of, you know, mistakes. It was two poor goals from their point of view that ultimately cost them. But they need to take the game to Rangers and play the way you would want a team of like Hearts at Tynecastle, because it's so narrow. You've got to be kind of hunting packs and try and make it difficult for Rangers, but they'll need to play a lot better than they did the other day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just give me your thoughts on the teaser.
I'm going to share this with the listeners. During the break, I says to the big man, right, we need to kind of do a bit of brainstorming. He went, I'm not telling you because you will steal my answers.
It's supposed to be a team effort, honestly.
I was trying to explain that to him, but he's clearly a striker.
Right, I'll give you a couple during the break. Go on.
No, on you go. Fletcher from Man United.
He's not going to tell us yes on the way, are you? So,
yeah, but we need to hear your thinking.
Yeah,
so we're
Fletcher.
Looking for five Scottish players who've played in at least the semi, well, played in the semi final or the final. Since the Champions League started in 92, you've thrown out names like Darren Fletcher and Paul Lambert. I think Andy Robertson, you said. I told you I'm not confirming any at the end because you're only looking for five. I love this from I think it was John Clark. Let me just find the tweet. And he says, I hope Neil Sullivan has one of the answers. He was on the bench for Chelsea in the semi against Arsenal. You two would never have got that. I can tell by the blank look in your face. But if he's on the bench, then he doesn't count because the question is played in those games.
I was at the Anfield.
And were you going to say that?
No.
Neil Sullivan.
I didn't see Sullivan warming up. No. Right, anyway, you've got another one, haven't you, Biggie?
Time wise I'm not too sure, but I'm going to go big Rambo, Bayern. Big Mike and Ali.
Oh, great shout.
Okay.
Oh, he's not even flinching. He's not even giving us nothing.
No, absolutely not. I can't give it away. There's only got five answers here. So I think I can't possibly. You've got about 20 minutes left to get them anyway, so plenty of time. Too many talk about turning points. We're talking about that St Mirren Hearts game. It's a bit too simple to say, you know, you've got one win and the rest will automatically follow. But what does one win do for you when you're on a run like that? I'm putting you right on the spot. I'm not sure if you could think of any specific bad runs you were on as a player and then when it turned around. But is it a big relief when you eventually get one?
Listen, it would certainly have been a happier workplace to go in this morning. You know, the lads have gone in there buzzing. it's not a nice environment to be in when, you know, when the chips are down and it's difficult to motivate each other. So St Mirren's training ground would have been a lot happier this morning going in, that's for sure. But then it comes time to start training and you've got to go and prepare and do all the things properly again. But there's certainly been a little bit of better buzz.
Archie's a Celtic fan in Shawlands. What's your point tonight, Archie?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
I'm speaking about Morelos and Edouard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just imagine being a neutral person, not knowing much about football, but listening to a debate about these two players.
Okay.
I'll give you three facts, and you decide who the best player is, because these facts are unarguable. Edouard won a treble last year. Morelos won nothing. Next week, Edouard can lift the Scottish League Cup. Morelos can't. He played for PSG, one of the best teams in France, and now plays for the champions of Scotland. Morelos doesn't. So who's the best player?
Well, I mean, I think Archie wants us to say Edouard, obviously, but you get where he's going with that.
No, that's facts. Are you going to, can you argue me one of them facts?
No, absolutely not.
Well, the best player's Edouard. The best player's Edouard, correct.
Archie, who scored the most goals so far this season?
But he's won nothing, son. He's won nothing.
Yeah, but you don't.
Rangers have won nothing since Morelos has been a player.
Archie, the season's only a quarter of the way through, a third of the way through.
What about last year when he played for
them? Well, you can give that, but the argument would be last year that Rangers were extremely poor last year. It's as bad a performance as you'll see at Ibrox for many a year, so there'll be mitigating factors in them. You talk about how people develop. So if you can go back 2 or 3 years ago, Morelos was playing in
Finland.
So you're thinking, oh, he's in a backwater. But you look where he's at now, and this is the argument now. We're not talking about last year. We're not talking about 2 years ago.
I've told you the facts about now. So the best player's obviously Edouard, and it probably will be, because
Archie, your facts have included the teams and not the individuals. So again, I touched on it earlier, if you take in the fact that Morelos is carrying Rangers on his own.
I mean, he's not, to be fair, because I know Candias has scored, what, in his last three games. Middleton's now popping up. I know what you mean. I think you're just wanting to praise Morelos in many ways for the contribution. But yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were going to kind of go.
No, I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate, because I don't know who I think is the better player. But you know, the points and the facts that you've made there are including the teammates around about them. And you know, there's an argument that the teammates that Edouard has at Celtic are better, and they're playing and performing better than what Morelos is at Rangers.
Yeah, Archie, I suppose, because on your system that you've got there, Archie, that means that every single Celtic player, every single one of them who is part of that treble winning squad, is better than Morelos.
No, we're talking about two players individually as an argument. You've had a dispute who's the best player.
Yeah, I know that, but you said that the reason, one of your reasons, one of your facts that meant that Edouard was better was that he won a treble. So does that not mean then that every player that won the treble last year is better than Morelos, according to you?
He won the treble, but he also scored the goals to help Celtic win the treble, and he scored plenty of goals.
That's fair.
Especially against Rangers as well. So the facts are, and talking about against Rangers, Morelos doesn't do much against Celtic, does he? Edouard does against Rangers. So that when they play against each other, who's the best player?
That is true. That's something that we said earlier on. You always look to see who steps up in big games and so on. Right, I'm going to give you a couple more minutes on the teaser. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about something very important.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, in partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West.
Okay, Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas very much underway this year. Unfortunately, it's a bit of a serious one, because for thousands of children right here on our doorstep, Christmas is just another day. It's not the special time that many of us have with family and friends. And quite simply, we want to change that, and you can help by supporting us. Now, I'm going to just basically let some of the guys who know where this money goes, they can tell the story a lot better than I can. So let's hear from the Giza Break Group. That's one of the groups that Cash for Kids work with. They're based in the northeast end of Glasgow, providing support to the most vulnerable families. Ed Ingalls, who works for them, tells us about a Christmas party, something as simple as a Christmas party that we supported last year for 100 children to try and make Christmas a bit different for them.
It's for food and for presents for the kids that maybe wouldn't otherwise get a gift. The parents don't have the money to buy them gifts, so to be able to come to that party and have a laugh, do dancing, do games, get a bit of party food, meet Santa Claus and get a present, they were delighted and they absolutely loved it.
Now, if you want to help this year, it's very simple. Text the word Clyde to 70808. That will donate £5. So text the word Clyde to 70808 to help Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Craig Beattie and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan. They're having a go at this teaser sent in by Chris Docherty. I feel like this question should actually have another wee bit included, to be honest, because Token Jester and a couple of others are pointing out on Twitter, what about that Rangers team in 1992?
Well, I was just about to give you six guys out of that team.
Well, then you're five.
So I'll help Chris out and add another wee bit to the question, which says, for non-Scottish clubs. That will clear it up for you. So we're looking for, since the Champions League started, five Scottish players have played in the semi-final or final. I'm adding this bit in, for non-Scottish clubs, because Chris doesn't have any of those Rangers guys down from 92. So you've been throwing out names like John, what was it, the last one you said?
Alan McAnally.
You said Darren.
You could say Johnny Rambo.
You said Paul Lambert. You said Andy Robertson. You're going to have to come up with five. I'm not telling you.
We've already got five.
If they're right. Oh, you have?
Yes,
Brian McClare.
Yes,
right.
So this is with five.
I'm not telling you.
Andy Robertson, Paul Lambert, Brian McClare, Darren Fletcher, and Alan McAnally. And that was a big man to go on him.
What if no, I tell you
Brian McClare?
What if I tell you that two of them are wrong?
Oh, we're happy.
So you've got
that.
Three.
Do you think we would have that?
Which two do you think are wrong?
Dan Fletcher.
You think that's wrong?
No, Alan McAnally's wrong and Brian McClare's wrong.
What about Dan Fletcher?
He looks as if he could be wrong as well.
I'm just messing with you. There's only two of them wrong.
I read something recently about, they were saying that Fletcher would have had a huge impact in the final had he played.
Yeah, but it's a semi.
A semi or final.
Alright, okay.
Yeah, but has he played in a semi-final?
Well, I said Fletcher, right, so I'm changing my mind again. Right.
Well, this is the best way of doing it, because I can just mess with you. Usually I'm telling you as we go along whether they're right or wrong. I'm loving this, right? So you've got three. That's what I'm willing
to admit.
Lambo
and Robertson are
stick ons.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going for McAnally.
Okay. It's fine. Right. That's up to you. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. Let's continue looking back on the weekend's action. He says giving away cheap goals and not being clinical were to blame for the 2-0 draw with Dundee. All of a sudden Hibs are on a bit of a bad run. They lost a 2-goal lead at the weekend, and he thinks that they're lacking confidence after being winless in their last five.
It's symptomatic of the spell we're going through at the minute, where, you know, we don't put teams away and we've conceded two poor goals for switching off. You know, some senior players are not playing at the level that they could be. You know, my strikers aren't functioning at the minute either. But positives are we've broken the run of not scoring goals. We've actually gained a place today. You know, we've gone up and we've closed the gap a little bit on the teams around us. But it feels like 2 points dropped. But you got to give Dundee credit, you know. They made us change our shape 10 minutes into the second half because we were abject, feeling sorry for ourselves, lacking character. I think after the change of shape, we were a lot better and we had good control of the game. But we not taking our chances and we're not producing the final ball. And we're not believing in ourselves at the minute. But it's a spell I have to manage, and I will. I don't know if the players thought it was easy or not, but, you know, the boy Ralph's come a long way, and then, you know, Paul doesn't get across quick enough to stop Kenny from scoring. It's just poor. And then the psychology of the game changes, gives Dundee a lift, and then we don't come out of the trap second half at all. And the second goal, we should win the ball in midfield, and then we should stand up rather than dive in. So it's a culmination of things. It's frustrating, but it's part of football.
This goes back to what we said, that if you're taking one overall conclusion from the weekend, or he always calls teams haves and have nots. Well, from the weekend, you know, Celtic and Rangers and Motherwell, St Mirren all be delighted, but in amongst that group, with Hearts being disappointed, Aberdeen disappointed, Hibs, like I say, all of a sudden they're on a pretty poor run. And what are they, 8th in the table?
7th, is it?
So they went up because of the 1 point. But
5 points in the last 6, Gordon. It's poor. I was looking at, even if you take someone like St Mirren recently, they have 4 points in the last 5 games. So it kind of puts it in context. I think when you look at the footage from the weekend, the first goal that Hibs gave away was absolutely schoolboy stuff, and he'd be absolutely frustrated at it because he'd have been in 2-0, very comfortable, you know, coming out buoyant in the second half, and then all of a sudden Dundee have got that kind of spring in their step, and then they come out and get the goal at the start of the second half. So Neil will be looking for his strikers in particular. They don't seem to be scoring freely like they were last year.
Yeah, he's highlighted his strikers are not functioning properly. His senior players at the back. I know young Ryan Porteous is in there, and he's actually a super young player, really, really good talent. Mm-hmm. He is. But it's the senior players that he's highlighting that are not doing their jobs, and that's what's cost them. And with guys like Kenny Miller kicking about, who you don't find well knows where the net is, then it's not good enough. I know I was in the studio a while ago and we were talking about the 6-goal demolition of Hamilton.
That's right.
And they were due to play Celtic the following weekend, and it's like, did they go to Celtic and beat Celtic at Celtic Park? And you know, they've not won a game since then.
That's right.
So to use another the same cliche, yeah, the wheels are off.
John is in Wisher. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon. Gordon, can I just say my wee pal Paul Hagan is half what he's hurt at his back. What a sin. Tell me, get well soon.
Get well soon, Paul.
I'm amazed the amount of people have come out with, oh, Morelos get booked. Yes, he'll miss the Dundee game. When's the last time Rangers won at Dens Park? Plus, Jim McIntyre's starting to get his ideas over to his players. So I think Rangers maybe get into that game. They struggled against Livingston and then Morelos came on. He's not going to come on against Dundee.
All right, so John's sort of on this idea that it's a good thing to miss the Dundee game for Morelos.
No, listen, I think losing Morelos is a blow regardless. I said at the top of the show he was instrumental in what Rangers were trying to do. Whether it was tactical or not, we'll never know. But that's besides the point. I think Rangers will miss him. But what it does is it gives someone, maybe a Lafferty, an opportunity to come on and shine. He's one that actually needs to get his season up and running again. You know, he obviously was started the season well earlier on with Hearts, scored against Celtic. So he would have looked to kicked on. It's stuttered for him. This is an opportunity against Dundee to try and get going.
John, I think it's just more about, it's not Rangers saying this Dundee game will be easy and we'll win it easily. It's just that on paper it looks like not quite as difficult as the Hearts game or any of the other ones coming up.
Yeah, listen, we've just listened to Neil Lennon saying that they've thrown away a 2-goal lead to Dundee and they've given them a point. The last game was a draw against St Mirren, who we know have been very, very poor. You know, apart from that, they've been done against Motherwell, they've been beat against Celtic, they've been beat against Hearts, they've been done against Livingston. So if you are going to miss a game, you make sure it's a Dundee game as opposed to any of the other two that he could have possibly missed. John?
What do you mean by that? You make sure it is?
Well, if it was a kind of calculated one.
Is that no cheating?
Well, listen, we don't know if it is. We're only saying if people are suggesting that out there, we're not actually saying
you're,
that.
You're just after saying it. If you're going to miss again, make sure it's a Dundee one. So in my book, that's cheating.
Well, fair point, John. You've caught me up with my words there. But what I'm trying to say to you is, we don't know. So what I will tell you is, if they had to pick a suspension out of the three games, Hearts, Aberdeen or Dundee, I know what one I'm picking, John. What are you picking?
You've got about 30 seconds left to come up with answers on this teaser. That clock is not making good reading for you. So we're looking for the five Scottish players who've reached the semi-final, have played, sorry, in the semi-final or the final of the Champions League. So you, I'll give you a clue because you need
well, you better give us the three we've got.
Yeah, so Darren Fletcher, Paul Lambert, Andy Robertson. You've nailed on. You've got two to get.
You better start giving us, how do you say 30 seconds? You better start giving us a clue.
Okay. 2001 with an English team.
2001 would have been Chelsea.
No.
Arsenal.
Important to remember.
Man
this.
United.
No, this team made it to a Champions League final because they're now miles away from that level.
And for Leeds.
Oh, Leeds. The Scottish guy for Leeds.
Defender, I think. I'll give you his initials. That's what Hugh and DJ like to do. DM.
Dominic Mateo.
And the last one, 1998, with a French team. Yeah. Who went to France from Scotland, played for Celtic, then went to a big side in France?
John Collins.
Yes,
that's easy.
Easy when you get the clues. Thank you, Alex Ray and Craig Beattie, for joining me, Gordon and Duncan, on tonight's show. Big thanks for all the tweets and calls. Apologies if you didn't get through, but the beauty of it is you have the chance to do it again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock until 8. I'll be back in the company of Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.